Blog Talk Radio.
You may think that it's over, that your life is done.
The best is yet to come.
Don't sweat the challenge, your battle's already won. Listen, y'all. See, God writes the end before the story begins. Oh, he told me to tell you the best
is yet to come.
As the author of your faith, he wrote a provision for you to win. You're a winner, you're a winner, you're a winner.
You ain't seen your best days yet.
You ain't seen your best days yet.
You ain't seen your best days yet.
I don't care what people told you, you ain't seen no.
You ain't seen your best days.
Oh, what a my brother, my brother, my brother. What you know? Is on the way. I see you eagle, I see you flying high. Ooh, you ain't seen nothing, you ain't seen nothing, you ain't seen nothing. I know you may think that you have, but God told me to tell you, you gotta keep on fighting, keep on praying. You ain't seen nothing.
not seen your best days yet. Hallelujah. How many believe that today? Oh, glory to God. You have not seen your best days yet. That's a new song by Bishop Paul S. Martin. Amen. You have not seen your best days yet. Amen. What a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful song to start this segment off with today. I tell you, I'm waiting on my host. I'd like to just open up while they're on the line. Amen. So we're going to play another song, Take Me to the King, by Tamla Maine. I just was able to download a few new songs on our song list, so I hope you all can appreciate that. We're going to play this up. That's all right.
Options are few. I'm trying to pray, but where are you? I'm all churched out, hurt and abused. I can't say what's left. I'm weak, no strength to fight, no tears to cry, even if I try, but still my soul refuses to die. Mm-hmm. One touch will change my hang me to the King. I don't have much to bring. My heart's torn in pieces. It's my offering. Lay me at the throne. Leave me there alone to gaze upon your glory and sing to you. Take me to don't have much to bring. My heart's torn to pieces. It's my offering.
Hallelujah. How many are willing to go to the King today? Take me to the King by Tamla Mink. Ah, she says she don't have much to bring. Hey, hallelujah. You don't have to bring much to the King. All you have to do is bring a contrite spirit and a broken heart. And the Bible says, the Lord says, He will not turn away a contrite spirit and a broken heart. So if your heart is broken today, if you have a contrite spirit today, those are the kind of attributes that God is looking for. He's looking for those that are willing to repent. Take me to the King, Tamla Mink says. Hallelujah. I don't have much to bring. And that's what we do. We allow the enemy to make us to feel that we don't have nothing to offer. But I beg to differ with you, because Romans 12, 1 and 2 say, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. How? By the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So you can come. Hallelujah. There's nothing that you've done. There's nothing that you're doing. There's nothing that is presently going on that God will reject. He said, I won't turn away a broken heart and a contrite spirit. Hallelujah. He said, I'll have mercy upon you. He said, you can drink of this fountain and be filled. You'll never have to thirst again. Hallelujah. Those that are hungry, hallelujah, hungering for the word. Oh, I'm telling you, come to the King today. Hey, I love that song. Take me to the King. I was able to get my, what is that thing called? This Rocket Music thing up, because I hadn't been able to download no new songs. And those were the songs that I downloaded three, one by Israel Horton. It's a new season. It's a new day. And then the other was by Paul Martin, Your Best Days. You haven't seen your best days yet. And then Tamla Mink, Take Me to the King. How many want to go to the King today? Hallelujah. Well, you have an opportunity to do that. And as we are on this line today, we just like to say greetings to each and every one of you. Glory to God. I don't come up. Ooh, Jesus. You know, when you think about the goodness of Jesus and all that he's done for you, you should be excited. Nobody should have to pump and prime you when you think on where he's brought you from, when you think on what he's done in your life, when you think on what he's doing right now, when you think how he took care of your family, how his blood covered your home, how his blood covered your vehicle while you were going to and fro, how he takes care of your children while they're in these secular schools and all kind of travesty is happening all over the land. You know, I don't need nobody to tell me how good God is. I can just think on his goodness and what he's done for me. I can think on where he's brought me from, and something begin to just well up on the inside. Oh, who wouldn't serve a God like this? Hallelujah. I'm just so happy today. Ah, my soul is rejoicing today. We have a speaker today. Oh, glory to God. And I'm just so happy. You know, God always gives you the best. God put some people in our lives that's the best. Yeah, we might have our little difficulties, and we may have our little clashes sometimes because we don't all agree on the same level with the same things. Hallelujah. But I'm so glad that God made each and every one of us unique. We all have the same five sensory matter, so we all have those. We all have those. He gave us eyes, ears, a nose, a mouth. He gave us legs and arms. Every creature, every man, every woman, boy, or girl that God has created, we all have the same body parts. Amen, amen. But you know what? Our body parts may be a little bit different. You might have a different shape than I have. Your eyes may be a different color. Your hair may be a different color. But I tell you, we have the commonality that we do have is all our blood is the same. There's different types, but the blood is red. Hey, Jesus, and we thank God for Jesus' blood from today. Hallelujah. I thank him for that blood. You have the same blood that I have. Ah, there's no bond. There's not male or female in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. We all were made to be his children. We all are heirs to the throne, but we have to meet some requirements to be an heir. You just don't become an heir because your name is Adrian. You have to be born into this thing. Hey, and how can you be born in it? Water baptism. You can be born in it. Taking on the name of Jesus, born in it. Letting him give you the precious gift, filling you up with the Holy Ghost. Amen, amen. So we greet each and every one of you all. You are listening to A Time of Reflection with New Destiny Ministries. We're just so happy. Hallelujah. Again, as I said earlier, to have a special guest with us. She's not a guest to this line. She's been on this line many times over the 16 months. But this is her first time ministering the word on our weekly broadcast. And I would just want to give you a little highlight about her, and then we're going to have open up with prayer. I've already prayed a little bit, so you know how I do it. Amen. But I want you all to know that we are just so excited to have her with us today. And she's also the host of our Saturday segment, which airs every Saturday at 5 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, and that is 7 o'clock a.m. Central Standard Time, and it's 8 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. And she is out of North Carolina. Amen. So she is one of my dear friends, one of our precious sisters and ministers in the gospel. And I really can hardly believe this is her first time ministering, but she was working a full-time job, and her hours did not fluctuate where she was able to come on during the hour that we are on. But again, as I say, she is the host of our Saturday segment titled They Overcame, and she hosts that along with her husband, whom I also love dearly, and that's none other than Elder Albert Burns. And Elder Burns is a profound teacher and preacher, and he has ministered many of our Saturday segments when we were airing at the same time, 1 o'clock on Saturdays, and Elder Burns would come on and minister for us. But then the Lord spoke to Minister Burns, Minister Billy Burns, his wife, and gave her this assignment to host this segment on Saturday called They Overcame. And that scripture she referenced is Revelation 12 and 11. And it says, they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. Amen. So this segment is, it empowers those that have beautiful, tremendous testimonies to come on and share with the audience and our listeners and our callers about how God did some miraculous things in their life. You know, we have some life and death testimonies where, hey, you thought you had crossed over, but the Lord said, no, 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 it's not time yet. And the Lord allow you to come on back. Hallelujah. You know, people call them out-of-body experiences. I don't know, but I've never had that kind of experience. But did God have witnesses in the land that can attest to what he has done in their life? Amen. And Minister Billy Burns, she's been married to Elder Burns for over 28 years, and they are the proud parents of 4 sons, 1 daughter, 5 grandchildren, and 1 great-grand. She was baptized under the late Suffragan Bishop Robert Bagger of Apostolic Pentecostal Church of Morgan Park in Chicago, Illinois. And after his passing, then she set up under the pastoralship of Bishop William Ellis, amen, of Chicago, Illinois, and that's the same church, Apostolic Pentecostal Church of Morgan Park in Chicago, Illinois. So we're just so thrilled and we're just so happy to have her with us on today. And I am thinking that this line is still trying to open up. Amen? But it has not opened. Minister Burns? Let me see. Okay. Well, I'm going to start praying right now in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. We don't have to pray. We don't have to pray for this line to come open. She hosts the Saturday segment, so she knows sometimes we have difficulties with these mics getting open. Amen. So let me see. Just bear with us for a moment. Bear with us. And let me get some... Okay, just a moment. All right, let's see what's going on. But in the meantime, we're going to continue to pray, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, until this line opens up. We come before you once again, Lord God, thanking you for your goodness, thanking you for your kindness. Lord God, we come against every difficulty today, to every malfunction, every technology disorder on today with the airlines. We come against the airwaves. We come against it in the name of Jesus. Lord God, this word will go forth today. Somebody will be encouraged. Somebody will be empowered. Somebody will be enlightened. Somebody will be stirred in their spirit to know that they can contend for this faith. Hallelujah. We can contend for this faith that was once delivered to the saints. Hallelujah. We bless the Lord. We thank him. Hallelujah. For his goodness. We thank him for his mercies. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We thank him, God, for everything that he's doing in our lives. So, Lord God, we can't do nothing without you, Lord God. We lift you up today and we give you praise, God. Hallelujah. Because you are, you are our creator. You are our provider. Hallelujah. You are a great deliverer. You are our healer. Lord God, and we're looking to the hills from whence cometh our Lord. Lord God, we're giving you thanks. For the Bible say, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. His mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from the hand of the enemy. Hallelujah. All that men, the Bible says, all that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Lord God, we thank you for our speaker on today. And you're going to allow her to come forth. We come against everything that's not like you today. Hey, glory, we ask you to anoint her. Hallelujah. Anoint her to speak today to our our listeners and to our callers and those that's listening on the internet live. Somebody needs to be encouraged today. Somebody needs to know that they can still contend for this faith that was once delivered to the saints. And as I'm praying, hey, the lines are opening up. Hey, glory to God. Hallelujah. Let me tell you, prayer changes things. Hallelujah. Prayer will change things. All right. We bless you today, God. Hallelujah. We bless you today, Lord. The line is open. Hey, glory to God. And I have just read her bio. Hallelujah. A little brief bio on this wonderful, awesome woman of God. And let me just tell you, hey, we met in Atlanta, Georgia, when I was living in Atlanta, Georgia. Hallelujah. We were in the same church. Hey, God, but God has something else for us. Hey, glory to God. And I was working doing ADT security. Amen. And Minister Burns, I heard her get up and testify, you know, that she had just moved in the area, you know, and the Lord had blessed them with a home and everything and told a little bit about their children. And so, you know, I saw this lady. She's a pretty lady. She's a beautiful girl. And I say, Lord, but she just has a look about it. She hates to be jealous, but I've got to tell you because it's the truth. And she just has this, you know, she's a very serious person. She's a loving and kind and sweet person, but she's a no-nonsense person, okay? That means she don't tolerate no foolishness. She laughs and have fun and enjoy things just like everybody, but, you know, she just has a seriousness about it. And so I said, Lord, now, she was looking a little mean. I said, oh, God, I don't see a smiling. You know, I don't see that bubbly spirit. I said, Lord, I'm going to approach this lady because I need to. She just moved in this area. And all I'm thinking about it, I'm telling you the truth, all I'm thinking about is ching, ching. I'm going right up this contract because she in a home, and I know she needs a security system. So I said, Lord, give me the strength to go over and meet her. And I went over and met her and, you know, met her husband, and we set up an appointment and everything and went to the house, and she and I became good friends. And I even introduced her to my job, and she came out and did some ADT, security. We were dealing with some cutthroats down there in Atlanta. Woo! Lord, those were some cutthroats. They were businessmen. But, baby, woo, we had a time with them fellas down there. Amen. But we connected, and then I had already met Bishop Lewis because he married one of my cousins, Pastor Jackie, so I knew of Bishop Lewis. So Minister Billy said, well, I heard Bishop Lewis. I've been trying to find him, and Bishop Lewis had opened a church in Atlanta, well, in Lilburn, really, on the outskirts of Atlanta. And so he was running a meeting, a revival called Catch the Fire. And so Billy said, we're going to go to that. We're out in Melbourne. So we all got together, and I think we followed her out there because she had four sons, and then I had my five children, old grandchildren, and my niece, and we all went out, you know, and her boys, the three youngest boys, you know, they all would made up with my girls. You know, they were all like in the same age group and stuff. And Minister, her husband, Elder Burns, he was the Sunday school teacher. So he taught the older girls, my older grandchildren and everything. And boy, when they wouldn't see him at the church or whatever, they were like, oh, that was it. He was absent or wasn't able to come and teach. Oh, they didn't like it. But he's just so gentle and kind, just the sweetest man, the sweetest elder you ever want to meet. Amen. So we just became good friends. And then I don't know if I moved first or she moved. I don't know. But they moved on to North Carolina, and then I came on back to California. We just had a wonderful relationship, I tell you, and I can call on them at any time for prayer and call them and counsel with them and call and just talk about what's going on in our lives with our children and our ministry and what have you. And it's always a wonderful thing when God allows you to meet people and connect with people, and then they become your friends. and, you know, we just have something in common. So I love her. She hates me to tell that story, but I tell it anyhow because that's how I was feeling. So she and I have just been good friends, and she's the most beautiful, sweet, loving person you ever want to meet. She loves the Lord. She is serious about her salvation. She's serious about God doing wonderful things in the lives of her children and her grandchildren, and she practiced what she preached. Amen. So with no further ado, we like to present to some and introduce to others our speaker of the hour, and that's none other than Minister Billy Burns of Apex, North Carolina, our Saturday host of They Overcame. Amen. God bless you.
God bless you, Apex. I don't know why you keep telling me, but you did tell me. Looking mean. You said I was looking mean, and it was just a totally different atmosphere. I guess that's why I was looking like that from my church that I come to in Chicago. It's totally different. So I guess I was just trying to get adjusted to, you know, didn't know anybody. Just knew a couple there that originally came from my church back home, but I'm so glad that my looks didn't stop you from coming and talking to me. So glad. Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, amen. And so we like Adrian said, Evangelist Adrian, we went over to Bishop Lewis's church for that Catch the Fire, and I don't think Adrian ever came back. You know, that's where the Lord had for her to see. We later came over there, but we had been looking for Bishop Lewis before we even moved there. And, well, as we moved there, we saw that he had a ministry there. And I'm just so blessed and so happy that you allowed us, my husband and I, to have the segment on Saturdays. And if you haven't joined us on Saturdays, please join us. Give us your testimonies. And if you don't have a testimony, just come on and say praise the Lord and encourage the guests that are there. We've had some awesome testimonies. This past Saturday, we had a young man. I don't know how young he is, but I say a young man that came on and was a drug dealer, was a drug user, had been shot, had been witnessed, you know, shooting. I think he said that he witnessed his nephew being shot and killed right in front of his face, and how the Lord has brought him into salvation, first of all, brought him into salvation, and then once bringing him into salvation, he realized that he must go back to bring in others. And that's what I call contending for the faith. I call, you know, us going back and reaching back for others as contending for the faith. I've listened to, and I'm kind of not surprised, but humbled, really humbled that Evangelist asked me to speak on her broadcast. I'm very humbled, and especially after listening to the speakers that she has had on, our Bishop Leo Lewis, who is just an awesome father in the faith and just full of wisdom and knowledge, and then the sister that I heard, I started to call her and tell her, I think you missed God. I think you missed God. And asking me, you know, to speak, especially after the awesome speakers that you have had on. But I believe that God has given me a word to give today. And so I'm going to ask you to pray with me that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, Lord, my strength and my redeemer, in Jesus' name. And I'm so, are you there, Adrian? I can't hear you.
You can hear me?
Okay. I know that you're there. Anyway, contending for the faith, that is something that is so dear to my heart. Like Evangelist Adrian said, that the Lord gave us the segment, or gave us the title for the segment, They Overcame, out of my concern for people not knowing and not hearing the testimony of the saints. Now, we used to have testimony service. We used to, in our church services, and I'm sure that some do also still, but some of the churches have gotten so large that they are not able to still have testimony service. So the Lord just impressed on me that we still need to overcome. We still need to know that He's doing the things that He did in Bible time, with our forefathers, in other countries. He's still the same. The Bible says that He is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. So the things that He has done, He's still doing them. And it saddened me. I have a friend that I met in church, and she's still in church, but now she has lost herself, I say, because she doesn't believe that healing is still taking place. Now, she doesn't believe that God is healing. I guess she believes that the medication that people are taking heals them. She doesn't believe in speaking in tongues. She said that, you know, what we're doing is not speaking in tongues. And I said, for years we've debated about it, but now I don't debate with her when we speak. And she starts talking about it, she asked a question and what my opinion is of what she's doing, then I tell her, and then we go on. We don't argue or debate, but contending for the faith to me is when we are bringing people in to the kingdom, when we are not allowing people to slip into hell. My cousin, a pastor, she's a late, she's deceased now, but told me one day that the Lord had given her this vision, and the vision was people standing by a mountain or something, and on the other side of the mountain was like the valley, and it was just full of fire. And she saw people slipping into this, and by the hundreds, people were just slipping into hell, slipping. And it caused her to fight harder. It caused her to have a fervency for souls. And to me, I've listened to Bishop, and I've listened to the other speakers that Evangelist has had on, but I believe that if we start off right, if we start off telling people what thus said the Lord or what the Bible says that we're supposed to do, then people are not going to be so easily fooled if the foundation is solid. And so I want to start off with Acts, the 26th chapter, and I'm going to read quite a bit of it, but I'm going to start off with the first three verses.
You said Acts 26?
I said Acts 26.
Okay.
Okay, and it says, then Agrippa said to Paul, you have permission to speak for yourself. So Paul motioned with his hand and began his defense. I am reading from the NIV translation. King Agrippa, I consider myself fortunate to stand before you today as I make my defense against all the accusations of the Jews, and especially so because you are well acquainted with all the Jewish customs and controversy. Therefore, I beg you to listen to me patiently. Paul went on, and I'm not going to stop right there, but Paul went on. He was telling King Agrippa, and King Agrippa is like the people that are in the world now. They've heard about the gospel. They've seen, unfortunately, the good and the bad of what's happening in our churches now. And he was happy that he was able to express himself to King Agrippa, contending for the faith. He was contending for the faith because he said, now's my chance. Now I have an audience. We have an audience that the scriptures tell us that the fields are white. They're white, which means that the harvest is ready. When the fields are white, that means that it's time to pull in the harvest. And we have people in the world that we're living in, and I heard evangelists say that, you know, we don't know when we go out, we should think of the Lord, because you don't know when you leave your home in the morning. You don't know whether you're going to get back to your home. That's just how dangerous the times are now. You don't know. So he was happy that he was able to say that. And we should be happy that once we get out, we don't know whether our children will get back home. We don't know whether our spouses will get back home, or, you know, our loved ones that are not in our home. But, you know, we just don't know. But when we have the opportunity, when God grants us the opportunity to speak on his behalf, then we need to take that opportunity. Don't be afraid. This week I started walking again, and I was passing. I speak to everyone on the track. And I was passing a mother with her child in her stroller. And as I walked past her and I spoke to her, well, as I was approaching her, I heard the Lord say, tell her I love her. And I'm thinking, okay, I don't want to say anything to this lady. I just want to walk. So as I passed her, I spoke to her, but I didn't tell her that the Lord loved her. And so as I walked past her, in my spirit, the Lord was saying, you don't know what has happened in her life. You know, she needs to hear that. I stopped, I turned around, and I told her, the Lord told me to tell you that he loves you. Well, she looked at me, and she broke out with this broad smile, and she said, thank you so much. And then I walked on, contending for the faith. We that are in the way, and that's what they called it in the Acts of the Apostles, in the way, have to be conscious of not just ourselves. We the young man that I had on Saturday, after he got off of the program, he was on his way out. They minister every Saturday on their way out, continuing for the faith. And he said, before he got off, he said we preach to one another. We're witnessing to one another. We're staying behind the four walls or the confines of the church. And the world is dying. The world is dying. So yes, I don't want my brothers and sisters to err, but to me, contending for the faith is getting out there, letting people know that God loves them. Okay, let me go on. He was telling them. He said the Jews know that how I was raised. They know me. They know that I was raised. I was a devout God worshiper. I was one that loved the Lord. I knew the law. I was expert in the law. I was one that was zealous. I was zealous for what they called the church. They called the church. When Christ died, his step was called the way. But Paul was the church, the synagogue. And he said that they knew that I was one that knew the word, and I was one. He was so zealous that at some point he desired, and he was killing the Christians. He was hunting them down. He went to the Sanhedrin court, and he got papers that said that he could kill them, that he could bring them in, that he could arrest them and separate them, and that's what he was doing because of his zeal for the Lord and God, for his zeal for God. And so he went on doing that. As a matter of fact, he was at the execution of Stephen, which I'm going to talk about him a little later. But he said that when he got to, he was on his way to Damascus, and I'm going to start reading there, and that is verse 10. He said, and that is just what I did in Jerusalem. On the authority of the chief priests, I was placed in prison, and when they were put to death, I cast my vote against them. Many a time I went from synagogue to another to have them punished, and I tried to force them to blaspheme. In my obsession against them, I even went to foreign cities to persecute them. He was contending for his faith. He was contending for what he believed, and he thought that what they believed was error. He thought that they were trying to come against his God. Okay. Mm-hmm. On one of these journeys, I was going to Damascus with the authority and the commission of the chief priest about noon. Okay. As I was on the road, I saw a light from heaven, brighter than the sun, blazing around me and my companions. We all fell to the ground, and I heard a voice saying to me in Arabic, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? It's hard for you to kick against King James says kick against the prince." But he was contending for the faith. He was going out there letting people know, no, this is wrong. What they're saying is wrong, and I'm not going to let them pull down what all of my fathers and what I've learned and what I've been taught all my life. I'm not going to allow this to happen. But he went into a man, hallelujah, hallelujah, and he said, then I said, "Who are you, Lord?" Because he knew that somebody that could knock him off of his horse. And you know what? I was thinking about this as I was preparing, and I was thinking, and I said, "Lord," I said, "he was on that horse, and he was high. He was high and lifted up, and God knocked him to his knees." Hallelujah. Knocked his knees, and he said, "I am Jesus, Hallelujah. He said, "Now get up and stand on your feet." He didn't tell him to get back on that horse. He didn't tell him to get back. Hallelujah. Because he didn't want him high. He don't want us high. We sit and look at people sometimes, and we say because we have the truth or because we believe what we believe that that high. We're high. We're above them. But God wants us to know, hallelujah, that we are not to be high above people. We are not to look down. That's the one thing that I love about the pastors that I've sat under, that none of them have lifted themselves up. Hallelujah. Bishop Lewis, as I was listening to his bio, and even he was, I think, a little embarrassed about, you know, the limpiness of it, because he said, I'm just serving. He said, you could have just said, Brother Leo Lewis, hallelujah. I love about it. We have to know our place in God, but put ourselves in the place of God. In the scriptures, it says that we are not, that ministers or pastors or bishops are not supposed to lord over the people, but that's another verse. Uh-huh. I mean, that's a sermon.
That's another message.
Hey, but Paul, when he got a chance, once Paul was converted, it says in the third book of Acts, he went around every person that would listen to his testimony, that would listen to what he had to say about this way that he had found himself in now. Hallelujah. He was contending, faith. He was contending for the faith. He said whoever would listen to him, he would tell his story to. People looking at him, some of them, it turned off. We know that sometimes we'll talk to people and they just look at us. It's over their head. They don't care. They look at, and I believe that it's the church's fault, some of it, because we haven't been a good example. We haven't been always where we're supposed to be in God. But we can't look at the church, and what I tell people is, but God has faith, but God has done this. And that's what Paul was saying. He said, look at my God, look at my Jesus. That's who I want you to look at. This is the one that died for you. This is the one that shed his blood. This is the one that lay bare, naked on the cross. Pictures that we see of Jesus on the cross don't come close to what he looked like. The Bible says in Isaiah that he was nothing beautiful about him.
All right.
And from him, hallelujah, body, neck, he was naked. He was naked on the cross. How do I know he was naked? Because the Bible says that the guards, they talked about his robe, but they talked about his undergarment too. And they said that it was in one, it didn't have any seams in it. It was just one complete piece. And that was his, it said undergarment. So he was naked on the cross. But he laid on the cross, and that's what Paul was saying, because Paul was an apostle out of time. He wasn't following the way when Jesus was here. He was, I believe, Jesus' contemporary. He was around the same age as Jesus. And so as Jesus was growing up, Paul was learning in the Sanhedrin court how to be a good follower of God. And Jesus was coming up, bringing people into, yes, be a good follower of God, but there's a better way. I have something more for you. Okay. Mm. So Paul was telling his story over and over again. Now I want to stop. I want to talk about how I believe continues for the atheist. I have a son, Adrian knows him, Chris. And Chris has been going through some really strange times, and from his youth, he has been told that there's a call of his life, but he's decided, or he hasn't decided, but he's gone his way. He's not gone the way that we would have him to go, but still we pray for him, and still we contend for him, and we still live a life in front of him. I talked to him last week, and he was saying how down he was, that he hadn't been able to find a secure job. In years, he's been working, but not something consistent. And he was down, and he was, you know, saying that he just was, you know, what's happening, Mom? I just don't understand. I was able to remind him, as Adrian was saying, about us moving to Atlanta and the Lord blessing us with a beautiful home. But we live in a home in Illinois, but we had been prophesied that we were going to move into a new home. Anyway, so I reminded Chris, I said, remember, son, how for 7 years we waited for our home. I said, we never doubted God. We never gave up. We always prayed. We always thanked the Lord. We never stopped going to church. We never stopped giving. We never stopped, you know, looking for God. Not only at the church, but at home. And when I said to him, he said, Mom, he said, you guys have been a great example for me. Hallelujah. He has said things to me before, you know, to let me know that the life that we've lived in front of him has been an example. That is tending for the faith. When our children can look at our lives and say, there is a God, or there are people that are living this thing, it's got to be something about it. Hallelujah. Chris is now attending Bishop George Bloomer's church on his own. Hallelujah. He walks to church. He walks a mile to church. We dropped him off one day, and we were going to a program that they were having that evening, and we used our GPS to get to the church, and it's a mile, but it's like you turn every few, like you walk a block and you do a turn. You do another block and you do a turn. You do another block and you do a turn. My son is walking to church. Hallelujah. And that's because we have contended for the faith in our home. We have contended for the faith so that our children are able to say that, yes, we know that there is a God and that our parents served him. That's contending for the faith. Hallelujah. I think about Stephen, hallelujah, in the third chapter of Acts. And Stephen, when they put Stephen in as one of the ministers to the church, when Paul said, Bishop Lewis touched on this, and Paul said, Peter said, we're not going to be concerned. We're going to set devout, godly men so that they will take care of the day-to-day issues in the church. And Stephen was one of them. Well, Stephen was arrested and lied on, and Stephen went, when I read this, and I've read it before, but when I was, you know, studying for this day, and I read it, and I said, my God, I said, Stephen went all the way back from Abraham. He started with Father Abraham, and he talked all the way from Abraham all the way down to Jacob, I think it was. Joseph. He talked about Joseph. He talked all the way down to Joseph. And then he charged them. He said, and you all had him. This is who our fathers have been looking for. This is who our fathers have been teaching us. And down through the years, this is the one that they've been looking for. And when you got him, you killed him. Now, it was a plan of God for Jesus to go through the cross because he had to have that perfect sacrifice. But Stephen was contending for the faith. He was letting them know, hallelujah, he was letting them know that
that this is the man that you killed is the one that we have been looking for. We've been looking for this. And once we had him, you killed him. Hallelujah. Stephen was contending for the faith. I believe in these times that we're living in, say, we got to come out. We got to come out. And get them. We got to compel them. That's what the Bible says. Compel them to come in. But once they come in, let's give them the foundation. Let's make them, hallelujah, what they have to contend for. Let's let them know, you know, that this is what we believe. This is what the Bible says, and we want you to grab hold to this. And not only do we want you to grab hold to this, what I love about a Bishop Lewis or a Bishop Trout, because Bishop Trout was one of my pastors in Atlanta. That's where Adrian and I, Evangelist and I, started out together when we met each other. We were in Bishop Trout. Bishop Trout would preach the word so that it intrigued you to go back and what he had preached. Bishop Lewis preached that on Jude last week. I came right home and opened up my Bible. I said, my God, in the word, hallelujah. And that's our charge. We're not just to bring them in, hallelujah, but we're to teach them. I'm reminded of when I got saved, and Sister Adrian asked me how long I had been saved, and I think about it. You know, I know when I got saved, it was March the 15th, 1981. I remember when I got saved and how I got saved. I got saved through a Church of God in Christ minister. He came to my home. I had some water damage, and he was the painter. He came to my home, and the entire time that he was there, he was talking about the Lord. He was talking about Jesus the entire time that he was there. Someone had already planted a seed from my mother, because I was always brought up in Calvary Light Apostolic Church. So when later years, I always say that the Lord tricked me with my son, my oldest son, how he I didn't want him to be a heathen. I wasn't going to church. I was doing everything I was big enough and bad enough to do. But when I had my son, I didn't want my son to be, you know, not to know the Lord. And how I came on that was I was walking down the street, and this little boy had to be about 7 years old. And I know I'm not preaching, but I'm preaching. And he had to be 7 years old. Hallelujah. And he was just cussing. He was like, oh. And so I said something to him. I said, what did God say listening to you there, saying those words? And he looked at me, and he said, God. He said, what's a God? Who's a God? I knew then that I had to get my child in church. And that's why I said the Lord fooled me, because I was just wanting him to go to church. I wasn't thinking about getting saved, because being brought up in the apostolic faith, I knew what that was about. And I didn't want to have any parts of it. I was like, I didn't want to have any parts of it. So I started to go to church. I visited, and then I started going to a little apostolic church across the street from, in kind of close to my home. And when this minister came to my house to paint my house, he was contending for the faith. He was contending for. He talked about Jesus from the time he came in to the time that he left. He invited me to his church. They were playing. These films about heaven and hell, and I went to the church, and I saw the movie. Now I had said, let me backtrack. I had said before, prior to this,
I said, I'm tired. You know, I'm tired. I feel out of place out here. Mm-hmm. I was doing what I wanted to do, but I still felt out of place. I felt out of place, and I said I was going to get saved, but I shared it. I shared it with some of my friends, and they were like, why? Why would you want to get saved? Why would you, you know, why is that necessary? Because they knew what kind of church I went to. Why? They don't. You don't need that. You never murdered anybody. I remember one of the ladies said to me, "You never murdered anybody. Why would you? You're in enough turmoil out in the world, and then you're gonna go to church and all that shouting and all that singing and all that preaching and all that huffing that they do. You don't need that." And I backed off. I backed off. But when this minister came, I went to his church and I saw this field, and I said, I do not want to go to hell.
Mm.
And a lot of people, they get saved, and one of my friends, when she found out that I had gotten saved, she said, "What man that hurt you? What man that hurt you? Was it so-and-so? Was it this and this?" I said, no, actually, it wasn't out of duress that I got saved. I just didn't want to go to hell. We have a lot of reasons why we get saved. And people try to tell you, well, you shouldn't get saved for that reason. You should get saved for this. But everybody has their reason. They have their appointed time. And I believe that was my appointed time, that I was supposed to get saved. I told my mother, I went home, and I told my mother, and I said, Mom, you need to come and go to church with me Sunday, because I'm going to get baptized and I'm going to get saved Sunday. And she was like, oh, well, we'll see. But she didn't go to church with me that Sunday. And when I came home, I had been baptized and had, at that time, we carried for the Holy Ghost. It had the revelation that we didn't have to wait for the Holy Ghost, that it was waiting on us. But I carried for the Holy Ghost. And I felt so like that was my place. I felt like, you know, when I could say praise the Lord, when I would go into church and people would say praise the Lord before I got saved, like, oh, well, I shouldn't say praise the Lord. But then it got so good to me when I went to work, evangelist. After a high Sunday, I'd be so high on the Lord. When I went into work and getting on the elevator, people would say good morning to me, and I'd say praise the Lord. I say praise the Lord to him. I was so full, you know, just so full. Then I was taught, and that's what I feel like we're not doing. We're not teaching. We're not teaching. We're not sharing. In Acts, the fourth chapter, and I have a lot of scriptures, you know, I just have a lot of scriptures, but Acts 4:32-34, and just let me know when I need to stop, Sister Adrienne. Okay, all believers were in one heart and mind. No one claimed any of his possessions was his own. No one claimed that any of his possessions was his own, but they shared everything they had. With great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, and much grace was upon them. There was no needy person among them. From time to time, those who owned land, time to time, those who owned land or houses sold them, brought money from the sales, and put them at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to anyone that had a need. We don't share now, and that's contending for the faith, to let God, let people know that God is concerned, and we're his hands, we're his feet, we're his mouthpiece, and if they don't see God in us, I'm not saying sell your home, I'm not saying that that's necessary, but we can know that someone has a need. And the Bible says the bowels of our compassions are shut up. And we'll say, girl, I'm going to pray for you. But we don't do anything to let them know the love of God in sharing. We don't let them know that we have still a commission to share. come in, and they're in such desperate need. They come in and they have on short dresses. They come in, they have on cleavage showing off, breasts almost hanging out of their blouses. Instead of us condemning them, instead of us pointing a finger at them, they're talking about contending for the faith, we need to share with them. You know, I have some clothes that might fit you. Let me bless you with these clothes. That's contending for the faith. That's letting people know that God loves. God is love, and the love that they're shown is the love that they're going to give. What they learn in the beginning is what is going to stay with them. That's contending for the faith, okay? Plus, like I said, they learn from us. This is part of a foundation. This is a part of the foundation that we're building in their lives when they come in, and we love on them and we share with them. We have gotten away from that. We've so closed ourselves in now that is my four and no more. You know, as long as we're taken care of, then, you know, everything else is all right in the world. But are your brothers and sisters, are they in the same place that you are? Are they? I mean, people, we moved here from Atlanta, and there was one family that has picked up their home to us, that opened up their home to us. Contending for the faith is letting people know. Now, we're here. It's just us. We don't have any relatives here. We don't have any, you know, any close friends, because we didn't know anybody when we moved here. But contending for the faith is opening up yourself to someone, to the Lord, saying, I know that God does this. I know that I'm not the only person that He does this to. The Lord will tell me to do something. Invite them over for dinner. Invite, you know, give them those shoes. Not these shoes, Lord. Not these shoes. You know what I'm saying? I don't want to give up those shoes. I'll save the shoes. But that's contending for the faith. My husband and I went to Bishop Darnell Dixon's church. One of our younger sisters from Illinois was going there to preach, and so we went there. And he has a custom in his church, and we didn't know this. And my husband admired Bishop's tie, and he said, that's a really sharp tie you have on there, Bishop. He took it off his neck and gave it to my husband. And he said, this is what I teach. This is what I teach my brothers. He said, if someone gives you a compliment about your tie, just give it to them. We're part of the body already, but then that may trigger something in me. Okay, you know, yes, this is something that I should be doing. This is something that I should be, because I'm contending for the lives. I heard the evangelist prior talking about wrestling, and I'm very familiar with wrestling because my boys were wrestlers, and they're fighting to win first place. They want to be in first place. Okay, that's what we're doing. We want our God to be in first place in everybody's life. When we show the love of God, we're contending, we're fighting, because the world is out there. They don't love the way that we do. They're not supposed to love the way that we love. Sometimes I think that they love a little more than we love, you know, which is an indictment against us, but we are contending, we're fighting. We want you to see that our way is the best way. We want you to see that when you follow Jesus, everything is open up to you. Not that you're not going to struggle, because we do struggle in the tell us many are the afflictions of the righteous. But God,
hallelujah,
out of them all. We're going to have some tough times. But you know something? When we have tough times, I remember a time when I got saved, that when a saint had a problem, when they were having problems with their children or they were having money problems, that we would get together over one another's houses and pray. We would get together over one another's houses and pray. And we would just come and pray and then sit down and gossip.
Yes.
We prayed until we got a breakthrough. I remember my sister Tammy she wanted to marry one of the evangelists, one of the mother of the house, wanted to marry one of his sons. And that's not what we were praying about, but in our prayer session, the Lord started speaking to her about this young man, and he told her not to marry him. How many times do we do that now? When do we come together and pray until God changes something? Until something happens. That is contending for the faith, saints. When we have people, when we bring people into the scene, they ought to be able to see our lives. They ought to be able to emulate our lives. They're emulating our lives, but is it in the faith? Is it what we want them to learn? My sons have been living a life, and therefore, my son told me, Chris, he told me, he said, Mom, he said, I could be at a party, and he said, and we'll start talking. And he said, and before I know it, I'm talking about the Lord. I'm telling them something about the Lord. That is because he is not in the right environment to be talking about the Lord, but that's what he knows from his upbringing. I'm not going to read all of these scriptures. I don't know where I am, what time it is, but I want to talk about Brother Darrell Watson that was on our broadcast of Saturday, and he talked about his life. He talked about how he was brought up in the streets of Maywood, Illinois, and how it was this regular for you to sell drugs, to do drugs, to gangbang. He was brought up in that environment, and that's the environment that he knew, and that's the environment that she emulated. But God was dealing with him. We don't always understand the way that God deals with us. God deals with us in different ways. Well, he lets us go so far, and because we predestined to this way, that we'll go so far and then he'll draw us back in. Like I said, at my appointed time, the Lord draw me in. The Bible says one plants, one waters, and God gives it increase. And Brother Darrell now is a man of God, and he's going out. God has made him a fisher of men. He's under a holy woman that I plan on having her on the broadcast. She said that she was a lesbian for 20 years, right, Adrian? Sister Adrian?
Yeah.
A lesbian for 20 years. And how the Lord saved her and delivered her. We say that, I was talking to another friend, and she was telling me that her daughter is a lesbian. And she said that it's not, how she explained it to me was, it's something that it's always going to be there. It's always been there. But contending for the faith let people know that is not true. That is a lie from the pit. You can be delivered. Here this woman of God is, and she's teaching teaching her people. They go out every Saturday and film. But Brother Daryl doesn't just wait for her to go out. He goes out and he goes back to the people that was in the life with him. Prostitutes, gangbangers. He's been in prison. Those are the people that he's going after. I'm not one to go after a prisoner because I've never been in prison. So I can hardly, you know, relate to them. Stay in your lane. God has given you a lane to be in. Stay in your lane, and those are the people. I'm not saying that God won't give you a convict or ex-con to witness to, but as a ministry, you're not going to, those are not the people that you're going to minister to. You minister to people that are like you. That's what I find, that you minister to people that are like you. In Chicago, I ministered every week at this home for recovering addicts, and I believe that they were blessed by it, but when I would say certain words, they didn't want me to say them. You know, they didn't realize, I was telling them that I had a girlfriend that they call it selling drugs, they call it fleeing. She was fleeing drugs. And I said that one time, and they were like, oh, don't say that. Don't say that, Sister Billy, don't say that. Well, if someone had been, you know, in that life, I believe it would have been received a little better. Like I said, I believe that they were blessed. We couldn't, it was a Catholic charity, and we couldn't teach them a doctrine. We could just give them Bible, and so that's what we did. We gave them Bible. It was something that they had to have as a part of their recovery. They had to have that, and so we were able to do that. And they came to our church. Some of them came to our church and got saved, but I believe that I wasn't as effective as someone that had been in that lifestyle. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. Not that God will not use you in that arena, you know, but I believe that we have a lane that we're supposed to be in. Okay. So anyway, so Daryl, that's what Brother Daryl is doing. He's going out and he is bringing in people. He's contending for the faith, and he's contending. He's doing the Great Commission, which is what God told us. He said, go out and give them. Don't sit in your church and wait for them. I remember, I think it was Bishop Ellis told us one time, he said, fish beget fish. Sheep beget sheep. He said, once you bring the sheep into the house or into, you know, the church, then that's where my place takes up. We're supposed to be out there contending for the way, just the faith. We don't have to. We make it such a big, you know, I can't do that, I'm scared, and that's nothing but the enemy. Let me tell you, that's nothing but that comes straight from hell, because all you need to do is, that's where Paul did. That's where Stephen did. Talk about what God did for them. That's contending for the faith. What has God done for you? What has God done for you? I remember one time I was in the store, and I saw this lady, and I saw this. Let me tell you this. I saw this on the bus. I was on the bus one day, and I was with a friend, and this lady got on the bus, and she had on pants, and she had on, I mean, she just was a regular-looking lady. Well, back then, we weren't wearing pants. In my church, we weren't wearing pants. And she got on the bus, and she said to my friend, she said, do you have a headache? And she said, yes, I do. And she said, can I pray for you? I'm looking at this lady. I'm judging. I'm looking at this lady, and I'm like, oh, my God. Look at what she's doing. She's contending for the faith. We want to narrow it down to the doctrine, but I'm talking about contending for the faith. She prayed for my friend, and then she went on her way, And guess what? She was healed. The Lord took her headache. He healed her from it again. Let's not make this thing so big that we can't do it. God hasn't called us into any. It's so simple. The Bible says that it's so simple, even a fool. And a fool, per the Bible, is a person that doesn't believe in God. That's what the Bible calls a fool, a person that doesn't believe in God. And he said even a fool can err in. That's the King James version. Even a fool can err in. This is how we've made it, and we've allowed the enemy to put in our minds that it's so difficult and it's such a hard thing, and they're going to look at you crazy. And so what if they look at you crazy?
No, God.
They look at you, and so what if they hear you? Hallelujah. We contend before the faith. When you go to tell a child, he said, childlike faith, childlike faith. When you tell a child no, do they stop asking you? They'll ask you again. They'll change it around. They'll try to manipulate you. It doesn't matter. Win those souls. Win those souls. We have a dinner at church. It's free. Come to church with me so you can have a free dinner. Girl, we got some good food. It doesn't matter. Get them in there. Let God do the rest. That's what he said. Fish of men. Get them in there. Let them know. Let them see your life. Even if you're walking down the street, I believe that those people know that it is something different about me on that track because I speak to everybody. I speak to people that don't even speak back to me. I speak to them, and I smile at them. I'm waiting for them to say, what's different about you? Something different about you. And then I can tell them about my Jesus. I can tell them about my Jesus. Hallelujah. Romans, the 5th chapter. I'm not going to go through all of these because I'm just rattling on. The 5th chapter, 1-6. Romans, the 5th chapter, verses 1-6. It says, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Do you know that we are living in a world that is so full of turmoil?
Yes.
There is peace anywhere. There, in the world, not just in the United States, in the world. That's I'm so blessed by the broadcast because it goes around the world. People can hear this around the world. And I heard Sister Adrian say that, but God proved it to me one Saturday when we had a caller from the UK. Knocked my socks off. I said, Lord, we are going around the world. But he said, peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, whom we have gained access by faith. There's that word again. Into his book, in which now we stand. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. But we also rejoice in our suffering. You know, when we this way, I remember I used to be afraid of that word suffering. I used to be afraid. I didn't want to read it. When I read it in my Bible, I would go to another verse. I didn't want to read about suffering. But you know something? If we don't suffer, how do we know that God can deliver us out of it? Hallelujah. That's what I've learned through my suffering now. Okay, I'm suffering and I'm learning something. Lord, I ought to be learning something. Please help me learn something. I heard Bishop Corinthus Patterson one time say that when he went through something, this is years ago, he went through something, he would always say, now, Lord, what am I supposed to learn out of this? Don't let me have to go through this again. I want to learn what I need to learn so that I don't have to go through this. But it says, because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Hallelujah. Stick to it, Lord. Hallelujah. We know that, okay, I suffered and did God bless. I suffered and God brought me out. So it makes me stronger. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Every time I go through something and I go through it, because we're going through things, we're not staying. We don't stay in that state. We're going through. Come on and go through this thing and see what God has from us on the other side. And he said, perseverance makes character. Hallelujah. Character to be able to go out and contend for the faith. Because when we go through something and we persevere through it, then we build this. You know, it's like when you exercise. That's what I'm doing now. I'm exercising. I exercise for years, walking and doing aerobics and things, and then I stop. And when you stop, I'm looking at my legs and I say, wow, I don't have those calves like I used to have when I was walking at full, that 2-4 of mile. Building that muscle, that's what your character is. Building that muscle in your person so that you can contend for the faith. Okay, and character leads to hope. When God shows himself, Sister Adrian knows, hallelujah, that we have just gone through something that was so traumatic. I thought that I had arrived at the place where I know my God, and I know my God is gonna bring us through this. But we, from November to March, we were going through something with my crib that was so traumatic that it allowed God to show me that, yeah, you can believe for some healing, and you can believe that your rent is going to be paid, and you can believe, you know, that I'll get you another college. You can believe it, but can you believe me for it?
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
And then once he got us through it, and say, I'm going to give this testimony. I'm not going to give it. I'm going to have Christopher give this testimony. But it was something that was so, I mean, my son could have gone to prison behind me over something that was turned around, was twisted something that wasn't, you know, an intent that wasn't there. But when God brought us through that now, hallelujah, He built my character a little more. Been in this thing for 30-something years, 31 years, through this. But that was a life-changing issue for me. I had faith in God, hallelujah, and talked about God and talked about what he would do and prayed with people. But just like I said, if you don't have experience in that thing, then you can't help somebody with experience because they're looking at you, look, you been through this? You haven't been? Okay.
And you save the world and they have no oxygen for yourself. Hallelujah.
Yes. And you know what? Let me tell you how God will use your children. My son and my goddaughter used to say to me all the time, they said, Mom, experience. I tell them, don't do that. Don't do that. Because I bump my head on that wall. I don't want you to bump your head on that wall. But they said, Mom, sometimes we got to bump our head on that wall so that we will know, don't go that way again, okay? Experience is the best teacher. I used to say, experience, yeah, but it doesn't have to be your experience. It could be somebody else's experience. But sometimes God will take us through something that we have to go through so that we can know, so we can tell somebody. For a surety, I know God can bring you through this. Why?
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Hallelujah. He brought me through it. Hallelujah. Can't nobody tell Adrian that God can't take her through losing a child. Hallelujah. Because she lost her. Tragically,
thank you.
But God
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. He brought her through with those grandchildren. She was through raising her kids. Her grandchildren were grown. He brought her through, and he brought her through, and now she could tell another grandmother, "You girl, he can do it. He can."
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Contending for the faith. That's contending for the faith. And hope. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Does not disappoint us, because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, whom he has given us.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. God's plan is perfect for us. Hallelujah. Don't try to get in. You know, don't try to go through anything. Like one of my beloved assistant pastor Andrew Davis used to say, don't pray for patience. He said, don't pray for patience. He said, because when you pray for patience, you're praying for trouble. He said, ask God hallelujah, to go through it. He said, but don't pray for patience. Don't look for finding some. You know, I'm on the edge, and now I'm just going to try this out because I know that God can pull me. Don't do that. Hallelujah. Yes, hallelujah, but when something comes on you, don't be in fear. I found myself in fear when we were going through that situation. And I know the Bible says God has not given us the spirit of fear, but why do you think that God put that in there? So that we would know we're going to fall into some fearful situations sometimes.
Yes,
hallelujah.
Yes, yes.
We fall into some fearful situations, but hallelujah, I have overcome the world. Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah. And so you can get through this. Just rest in me. Hallelujah. He said in Peter, he said, cast all your cares on me. Hallelujah.
All your cares on
you. Hallelujah. He cares for us, saints. Hallelujah. And when we go through, he said, and when we go through, let somebody else know. Pretend.
Hallelujah.
Let somebody else know. You can make it. You can make it. Come on, let me pray with you.
You
need somebody to talk to in the midnight hour. Call me, because I'm there. I know what God can do, and I'm here.
Hallelujah.
Send it. Hallelujah. For the faith. Hallelujah.
In Peter,
I said that I would go in with you. In 2 Peter. Oh my God! Second Peter, the 3rd chapter, and the 14th verse. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! It says so. 2 Peter 3:14. So then, my dear friend, since you are looking forward to this, make every effort to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with him. Hallelujah. Are we going to always be spotless? No.
No.
God. Are we going to always be blameless? No. But
hallelujah.
God, find peace with him. How do we find peace with him? Hallelujah. We find peace with him by going to him and talking to him. Father, we are failed again. Hallelujah. Help me, Lord. Help me to not fail in this situation. I recognize that this is a weakness. Did God know we were going to have weaknesses? Hallelujah. Well, he's surprised by anything that we've gone through. Hallelujah. Not surprised, because he was there at the beginning. He was there in the present, and he's there in the future. Hallelujah. And the scripture that jumps out at me, of course, is Jeremiah, the 29th chapter, the 11th verse, he said, I know the plan.
Plan
for the saints. Hallelujah. Yes. We are just out here. Well, some of us are. We just out here. We wander. We live it. You know, we're not contending for the faith, but ask God, and he'll tell us what his plans are for us. He said, but find peace with him. Bear in mind that our Lord's patience means salvation. Just as our dear brother Paul also wrote to you with the wisdom that God gave him. He writes the same way in all of his letters, speaking in them of matters. His letters contain some that are hard to understand, which ignorant and unstable people distort, as they do the other scriptures, to their own destruction. Hallelujah. Mm. To their own destruction. I believe, let me go on. Therefore, dear friends, since you already know this, be on your guard. Be on your guard. Know what the Bible says for yourself. That's how we get fooled. When we don't know the Bible, in Timothy, he says, study to show yourself approved. A workman that he be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. If we don't know the word for ourselves, then we're going to be fooled. We're going to be fooled. And that's what Bishop was talking about. And that's what the other speakers have been talking about. Know the word for yourself.
Amen.
Okay, so that you may not fall from your secure position, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. I pray that somebody got something out of this. I felt myself rambling, Sister Adrian, but I'm finished, and I'm turning to you.
Hallelujah. We don't even know when we're getting that water, we just in it. Hallelujah. Sometimes you don't even know how deep you're in it, but as you got in the thick of it, then you felt your help coming and you just went on. So we always in that water, and I tell you, I thank God for that word on today, contending for the faith. And as she said, if you haven't been through anything, how can you be an effective witness? The only way you can effectively witness for the Lord, you have to go through something. You can't tell anybody about a test or a trial or a tribulation or a disappointment or a heartache or frustrations if you've never experienced those things. Life is about experiences. Life is about sharing what you have gone through to help and strengthen somebody else. So I thank God for that word on today. Thank God for Minister Burns coming and taking out of a schedule and coming and minister the word of God with us. God has everybody has a different method. Everybody has a different style. You know, she's a little more quiet. But once you get a third up, she can talk. You all seen that. Amen. So we thank God for that. We're contending for the faith. And she has four sons, so I know. Dealing with sons is not easy. I had all girls and only one boy here. And this one boy, Jesus, I don't know how I could have, I don't think I would have been able to deal with four boys. But I dealt with these girls. They're a handful. But these boys, that's another animal, you know, because I'm a woman. So I can deal with these girls, but I'm not a man. So I can't impart a lot of things to this young man as I can with these girls. So God gives everybody a different measure of grace. Amen. So we thank God for Minister Burns coming on and sharing the word of God with us. The day I said I could hardly believe this is her first time speaking. She's not her first She's not a first-time listener or caller or participant, but the first time ministering the word of God. So she's been through something, hallelujah. She's been saved over 30-some odd years. So you can't have been in this way and you don't have nothing to teach and to impart to someone else. So God bless you. Thank you. Contending for the faith. We only have about 7 callers on the line. We have about 17 people on. But, you know, folks, if you're in Houston, sometimes we tune in to see if it's somebody we like. But they're not saying, well, we are, you know, but we go on about our business. And that's good because God always has somebody that's going to hear this word. We thank God for those that are on the internet listening live and even those that go back and listen to this message later on tonight or tomorrow, whenever they can. We thank God for them. So we're going to Elder McCoy. I see Elder McCoy has been with us from the beginning of the broadcast, so we're going to open up the line. Elder McCoy, God bless you.
Yeah, God bless you all, and, you know, we're just glad to be on the line, and we enjoyed the message today because it was real talk. It was real talk.
Real talk.
And
I tell you,
God really used her for real talk.
Real talk.
And the word was just rich.
Okay.
And, you know, that's what God wants of us, to love each other.
Yes.
And that's what he wants. And I'm going to be praying for you and everyone else that's been on the line. We just enjoy the word of God all the time. And we enjoy, you know, even speaking the word of God. We just love God. And, you know, we just want to do the things that God would have us to do. Amen. To stay in his will. And, you know, contending for the faith, you can go you can go for a long time on that subject. God bless you.
Thank you, Ella McCoy. We thank God for you tuning in, and thank God I know you're on the road and traveling and still ministering and doing the work of the ministry. So it's a blessing to just have you with us today. Sister Ruby, God bless you.
Yes, you too.
Amen.
Oh, praise the Lord, everybody.
Praise the Lord.
It was a blessing. You know, we heard a lot of different speakers for Contending for the Faith. But, you know, I think it's just such a blessing that Minister Burns came on, and she headed it about outreach.
Mm-hmm.
You bring them in, and then you allow them to be saved and set up and filled with the Holy Ghost, water baptized in Jesus' name. And then the pastor teach them. But our job, we must be out there on the sidewalks looking for God's precious people. And this is such a blessing that you took it there with love. Pray my strength in the Lord.
Amen, amen, amen. That is a blessing to be able to be a witness. Sometimes we sit in our homes and we just got our own little circle of saved friends, and, you know, we're afraid to go out into the inner city. We're afraid to go down in the trenches where the drugs are and where the alcohol is on, where the homeless are. We don't want that stench upon us, you know. We're too clean and we're too crispy and we live in a certain neighborhood and, oh, no, I wouldn't be caught down there. Well, you better know that one day you was rich. One day you were filthy and stinking, and God looked down upon you. You may have not been homeless. You may have not been out there in the trenches with those that get right on down with it. But you know what? Sin is sin. Ain't no clean sin. Ain't no clean places for sin. Sin is all sin stinks in God's nostrils. Hallelujah. God save us up and clean up. You know, we don't want none of these homeless folks smelling and full of alcohol coming sit next to us. Oh no. But guess what? That's the way the Lord looked at you when you were in your mess. Hallelujah. You may have had on some clean clothes, but your heart was evil. Your deeds was evil. Your deeds was sinful. Hallelujah. So that makes me, I despise folks that, they're so this and they're so that, and you live in a dirty community. You might be still in the pig pit. Hallelujah. With the pigs. You better thank God and give him glory that he wants you.
Hallelujah.
For you to stay in the gated community and stay in your glass house and look down on folks. Like Billy just, Minister Burns just say, we turn up our nose at people because they don't have on the right kind of clothes that we think they should have on. Well, I beg to differ with you. If they don't have on the right clothes and you want them on something better, go buy them something.
Make sure they get saved.
And they come into repent, and they hear the word of the Lord, and they're trying to change their life. How dare you to look down on them? How dare you to not turn up your nose at them? Hallelujah. You was wretched and one done.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. God gave us all an opportunity to come into this marvelous life. Not for us to just sit back and lay back and watch out 60-inch TVs and ain't nobody around for it no more. God ain't interested in your foreign no more. He's interested in lost souls for the kingdom.
Amen.
Y'all ain't the only people that God is trying to save. You ain't the only one that he gave another opportunity to. He said, all souls belong to me. The man that sinned it belong to me. And all that things, they belong to me. All souls are mine. He said, I reign on the just as well as the unjust.
Hallelujah.
I have mercy on whom I will. When he received, hallelujah, the gift of Abel and did receive the gift of Cain, he said, I have mercy on whom I will. I didn't receive Cain's gift. Because his heart was evil. God judged our heart. He judged our motives. He judged our intents. Hallelujah. Come out your glass houses and go out into the highway and the hedges like Minister Tillman is doing. Highway and hedges ministry. Bringing 1 million for 20 some odd years. Those are the people we ought to be sending a seed to. Sowing a seed and so get down there feeding the hungry every day. 21 years, she said she's been in the same building. She can't get no help. But these prophet liars that need
Lord have mercy.
Money. Y'all better leave me alone today. Talk about hallelujah. And God gonna bless you. They're living in mansions. They ain't coming in there in a city to deal with you. They're not coming in there and offering you a blanket. No, you ain't going to get none of them to come down to those homeless shelters. Send some of your seed to somebody that's helping the poor. There's somebody that's helping the downtrodden. Those that need lifting up. Those that need a hand. Seed into the highway and hedges ministry. Denver, Colorado, Minister Tillman's been. And that's what I'm going to start doing. I'm going to start asking for you to sow a seed to them, not to me, to them. I don't have a building. I ain't feeding the hungry. Hallelujah. But guess what? I don't mind getting dirty, baby. Hey, because I mean kingdom. I don't stay up in no houses and put on my finest of clothes and can't even speak to nobody. Can't even tell nobody that Jesus loves them. The devil is a liar today. I bless him today, Minister Burns. You have ministered that most. Nobody is going out into the highway and the hedges. We turning up our nose at folks. We too cute. We too pretty. God done blessed us and caused us to live in our fine homes and drive our fine vehicles, and we don't care about nobody. We ain't sowing nothing into nobody's lives. Hallelujah. We'll turn on that seed, and when they say send a seed in, and you're going to be healed, and you're going to be this, and them folks don't know you. The Bible said, know them that labor among you. They don't know you. You're just another number. You're just another number. All you're doing is making their bank accounts big and fat. But those that you see doing something, your neighbors, you won't even visit them. You won't even go visit them. Oh, y'all better loose me today.
We gonna lose you, Vandalus.
Lose me. Lose me. It wasn't no jumping and shouting. It was an assessment. It was
an examination.
Examine yourself. Are you contending for the faith? Who have you told about Jesus? Have you told anybody he can save? Have you told anybody he can heal? Have you told anybody he can deliver? And not just tell them. Bring them to a place. And let me show you, this is the place you can come to. And they'll help you. They'll show you how to walk right. They'll get you. They'll open up the scriptures and explain them to you. Billy, you have preached today, honey. It wasn't no jumping and shouting. But guess what? You're contending for this faith. Amen. Sister Kim and then Apostle Johnson. Everybody else can drop off. It's okay. They probably thought I was on here hooping and hollering today. I don't know they didn't because I sent out a text to everybody with the flyer with Minister Billy. And we, let me say this before he comes. I got the Lord right now, and we had 18 people that was on this line. Now we got 7 on here. So guess what? Some of them did come on. So, hey, that's all right. God got a record. God got a record. I don't get that. Folks got things to do. Go on and do it. But I wasn't on here hooping and hollering, shouting and screaming again. Hallelujah. We heard a message.
Amen.
For the faith. Go down into the highway in the head. Go on in and visit the sick. Hey, go in, hallelujah, and visit those that are in prison. Send them a letter. Go to the 99-cent store. You can buy 2 cards for 50 cents and send one of those prisoners a card and say, God loves you. He's thinking about you. We ain't doing that. We're trying to make ourselves fat. Oh, God, I bless you today. Sister Kim and then Apostle Johnson.
God bless you. She goes. God bless you, Mother. The word was truly brought forth, and no matter if there was shouting and hollering, it was brought forth, and I got it across to me. So God bless you, woman of God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Sister Kim, never seen me in her life. Hallelujah, soul to seed. Because guess what? She here. She see what we're doing. She hear the people of God. She way out and keep wondering where we at. Hey, God, no, Sister Ruby been sowing since we started this ministry. Hallelujah, but we want to turn out a dish of this and a pot for this. Please. The Bible says your gift will make room for you. Know them. He said, give me signs, Minister Billy.
But these signs
shall follow them that believe.
In my name.
All people signs following you. Leave me alone. Loose me. Go sit down somewhere. Bless the Lord, Apostle Johnson. I thank God for you.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord on today. Praise the Lord on today. Truly, we honor God. I honor God for this great woman of God. Truly, on Saturday morning, I had a chance to get this second experience of what their broadcast is like on Saturday morning. And you know, we're overcome by the words of our testimony. And so their show on Saturday morning has a wonderful, tremendous impact. And her husband are two of the most humblest people that have been raised in the kingdom of God, the way the kingdom people are supposed to respond to one another. And that's what kingdom love. And I honor God for her today because out of teaching, out of your loins, that's what it's all about. It's not about a hoop, not a quake, not a shake, not for my chill bumps or how many optics that I can go to and make you stand up on your feet and everything, but it's about what you receive. And if you can receive the word of God, and if the scripture will follow you, and if you will be, if the scripture will meet you to where you can grow into the things of God that God has set for your life. So I've enjoyed it today because everybody can't take teaching. That's why everybody still ain't here. You know, when you can handle teaching, teaching allows you to grow. But when you can't handle teaching, you can just handle preaching. You just go off your emotions, and you can't help nobody else grow. And then there's a thing called having the heart of the kingdom. And having the heart of the kingdom means that you love on people for who they are and not for what they have.
That's it.
And the problem is that in the kingdom of God, you've got too many people that are emotionally strong for people for what they have and what they wear and what they're doing instead of the anointing of God that's in them. So that's why we have so many people that are running from the house of God and running from the things of God because of the fact that the church has hurt them. The church has broken them. You don't dress like me. You don't look like me. You don't talk like me. You don't walk like me. You don't smell like me. So I don't need you in my presence. Who are we? We are not God. If he's telling them to come as they are, how do we tell them, come as you ain't, get out my way. You're not like me. You don't walk like me. You don't talk like me. Problem in the kingdom of God is people are not kingdom. People are just social. And we know social means to be cordial, to be able to talk amongst each other. And that's the problem with a lot of the people in the church today is that we want to be more social than to be kingdom-minded and connected to one another the way that God desires to connect us, the way God desires to build us. So I honor God for you today, Evangelist, because I think that you put a profound word of teaching there. And I think that the church really needs to take a reality check of who we are and stop criticizing and critiquing and putting one another down. Because it's just all about growth in this season. Because it's a new season and greater is coming. But the only way greater can come is if we allow ourselves to be built. But God bless you. I'm just excited about your teaching because I love people that can teach. If people don't understand that preaching and teaching goes together. If you don't know how to teach, then you can't preach.
That's it.
And to me, you brought a word today, and you can tell that your Levitical leader and your teacher that you grew up under has taught you the principles of teaching and preaching and making sure people understand. So I honor you on today, and I honor the great man of God and your husband on today as well. In his absence, God bless you all. I love you all. God bless you, Evangelist Bernard, and all the ecclesia, everyone that's on the line, that stayed on the line on today. God bless you, and may God continue to enrich your life.
Amen, amen, amen. That is a right now word today. Amen. Let me go to Sister Dawn. I don't know if she's at work. I'm calling you. Dawn. Okay, well, by way of announcements, I'm going to go back to Minister Burns and let her have the final comments and she can dismiss us. We just want to, again, invite you to the pre-Pentecost revival that Bishop Leo Lewis is the guest speaker on this Thursday, start tonight at 7 o'clock p.m. Is the day Thursday? Yeah. 7 o'clock p.m. tonight and tomorrow at 7 p.m. And then on Sunday morning and Sunday evening. Sunday morning is at 11 o'clock a.m. and Sunday evening is at 6 o'clock p.m. And that's here in Northern California. The address is 605 Hamilton Avenue. And that is in Menlo Park, California. That is the original Apostolic Holy Temple Church of God. And the pastor there is Timon Bostic. So come out if you're in the Bay Area and in the surrounding areas. Come out and support this man of God. The Lord's will be up there tomorrow and also Sunday, if the Lord will. So we're looking to have a great time with Bishop Leo Lewis, and some of you all have a wonderful opportunity to hear him on this Thursday and Friday last week. So we thank God for what we have heard on today. We certainly give honor to the woman of God that hosts the segment They Overcame on Saturday. If you've never participated or never called in, call in. It's the same call-in number, area code 858-683-1334. And Minister Burns, along with her husband, have been hosting this segment since November of last year, and they are faithful to that segment. So call in and be a supporter. It airs at 5 a.m. Pacific time, 7 a.m. Central Time and 8 a.m. Eastern. So there's a lot of you all that's in the Carolinas, and Sister Kim is in Louisiana. You all can get up at 7 in the morning, at 7 o'clock, back Central Standard Time, to go on. And if you have a testimony, she certainly opens up the line where you can give and share your testimony with the audience. Amen. So we're going back to her. Thank you, Minister Burns. We appreciate that word, contending for the faith. On to do. Back to you.
Amen. And I just want to say we're excited about this Saturday. We have another guest that is just a young lady, and just an awesome. I spoke with her earlier today, and she is so excited, and she is just ready to give her testimony. She wants to tell about what God has done for her. I'm not going to give away any of her testimony, but it is, you need to hear this. You need, if you have any relatives or friends or somebody that is on drugs or trying to get loose from drugs, or, you know, speaking about drugs, or, We live in a world now where little kids, 9, 7, are high, and listen to this woman of God talk about what God has done in her life, So I thank God for you allowing me, evangelist, having this segment on Saturday. Just thank God for you, and thank God for what you do for the kingdom. It's not an easy thing for you to be on every day, and God truly is going to bless you, and I know that he's blessing you because of your faithfulness, you know, to the ministry. 16 months of every day on the radio, that is dedication, and there are not a lot of people that can do that. Because when I have a lot of problems in my home using my cell phone to get on, and I get cut off, but you just is on fire Monday, Friday, as you are on Monday.
Yeah. I don't know about that, Billy.
Oh, yeah. When I hear you, yes, you are. Yes, you are. You are just on fire. And have a word, and have a word. And if you don't have someone, then you carry out the word. And God, I'm sure when my boys were little, and I homeschooled them for 3 years, and we started off with Bible study every morning. Every morning we had Bible study. And it got so good that we were first doing it just like for, you know, a short time. Then by the time we ended, we would do a Bible study for 2 hours at least. And then we would have prayer. And one day with my husband, I was on our knees and we were praying. And just I felt it was like an audible voice. God said, I am pleased. I am pleased. I know that God is pleased with your dedication, evangelist. And I know that, you know, God has
prayed
for you. He has great things to show, because you can't do something for God and God not bless you. One of the grandbabies is here with me. His uncle took him out so that at least I could have this time to deliver the word that God had given to me. So I just want to thank the Lord for this day. Father, we just bless you. We praise you, Lord, because you are so awesome. We hallelujah. We love you, Lord, for your faithfulness to you. We love you, Lord, for your love for us. We thank you, Lord, because we know, hallelujah, that there's nothing else for us to go but you. And you stand, hallelujah, with your arms stretched out wide, hallelujah. We just thank you, hallelujah. We bless your name, Lord, hallelujah. Worthy, hallelujah. Worthy, hallelujah.
on this day. Lord, may it definitely be down in our pocket. Let us sit in the with fire. And let them know about your love, and let them know that you love them. Hallelujah. We bless you now, Lord. Continue, hallelujah, to bless Adrian. Continue to bless her home, her children, her grandchildren, her great grandchild. Oh, God, her father, hallelujah. Oh, God, we know, hallelujah, that you have, hallelujah, as I heard last week, that you're going to save her mother. We stand with her, and we believe that report now. Her mother shall be saved. Sister Barbara, we shall be calling her Sister Barbara, hallelujah. And she will have a great testimony, hallelujah. And her sister, oh God, we just thank you, hallelujah. Hallelujah. We love you, Lord. And we thank you for loving us, Lord. Hallelujah. Ah, yes. Dismiss us from this place, but not from your sight, oh God. We bless you. We praise you in Jesus' name. Let the listeners, hallelujah, let them receive something from this. Lord, show up the gift that was in, that's in us, that called us to show up, to go back and do our first work, hallelujah. How we tell you.
One touch will change
Talk with you while you're here in Anchorage, so God bless you.